Blog Talk Radio.
Been listening to the great Ella Fitzgerald. You are in for a treat by the complete performance of this fantastic lady who is considered by many to be the greatest female jazz singer of all time. With me I have a guest, but more than that, she is actually a singer herself and a high school teacher out in California. And this happens to be my daughter. Her name is Courtney Rohan.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, sir. I'm quite sure everybody's saying hello back to you. And we're going to not only listen to Ella, but we're going to talk a little bit about her as we continue. I don't know whether or not we will be able to play all of the session that I have planned for you today, but we're going to do the best we can with a little bit of time that we got to do it with. This is Getting It Done, and I am your host, Dr. Walter Dean, along with my guest, Courtney Rohan. Let's listen to some more of the great Ella Fitzgerald.
Thank you so much. Merci beaucoup. Bonsoir. from Smile. We hope you'll enjoy our little part of the session. We have some new songs and some old ones, and some we don't even know. You see this girl, this girl in love with you. Yes, I'm in love. Who looks at you the way I do when you smile? I can tell we know each other very well. How can I show you? I'm glad I got to know you, 'cause I've heard some talk. They say you think I'm fine. Yes, I'm in love. And what I do to make you mine, tell me now, is it so? Don't let me be the last to know. My hands are shaking. Don't let my heart break and call. I need your lover. I want your love. Say you're in love, in love with me, guys. If not, I'll just die. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter. It's not that I'll just die.
Well, how did you enjoy that?
Her voice is the most beautiful thing. She just knows how to,
Freeze.
From the heart.
Yeah, from the heart.
The heart. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a number of things that I've always admired about her, and that is being able to use the microphone. She could move the microphone so gently away from her mouth, back to her mouth, without even blinking, like it was like an automatic response.
Right.
And she could make the notes real even by moving the microphone. And it's so gently done that most people don't pay attention to it. And her style, the taking a one note and moving it around, by
articulation.
Yeah, unreal. Yeah. She's fantastic. But we're going to move on to another song. We're going to have to continue to keep our statements short. Fantastic job of articulation, but also projection. She projects her breath.
And her breath work is amazing.
Yes.
You don't even realize that she's breathing in those long phrases.
Yes.
And she's not taking breaths.
She's taking them, but she's sneaking them.
She's sneaking them.
Yeah.
Because it's moving so fast.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But we're going to go on. I thought that me stopping like this would give us a chance to talk about her a little bit, because I just find her phenomenal.
Thank you. From a new picture, we'd like to sing the title song, one we had the pleasure of recording for from the picture with Marcello Mastroianni and Miss Faye Dunaway. Come and walk with me. I know a place that your eyes must see. In hidden hills and trees of lace, where love is every place around. There, where violets bloom, we'll climb a stair to quiet room. No one will see, no one will know, and there I love you so the sun will set and rise and set with you. Lead you there to the secret land, across the fields beyond the quay. It's just one step away, and there with you I'll share.
Well, what did you think? Can you imagine someone creating a mood like that? I mean, you see how quiet the audience got, and you can see them leaning forward in their chairs.
Yeah.
That gives you an understanding of how she just took them out of their whatever moods that they were in and put them in her world.
Yeah.
And created a whole new world for them to be in for that period of time that she sang that song.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a journey.
Yeah.
It was a full-fledged journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, vocal. And, I mean, even the song, the lyrics, right? I mean, doesn't it start off, this song starts out talking about come and walk with me.
Yes. Yeah, it was a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to listen to one more song, and then we're going to go on and hear something about her life.
Magic got me in a spell, yeah. That old black magic that you weave so well. The icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old tingle when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. And when that elevator starts to drag down and down and down and down I go. Round and round and round I go in the spin. I just stay away. I'm loving the spin, I'm under the black magic, all love. So stay away, so what can I do? I'm your name. Amen. I'm under the medical love. I'm in a spin. I'm having a spin on the end. I'm under the
That's one of her faster songs. I thought she was going to break out in scat because she was really known for a lot of scatting. What we're going to do is we're going to move on to listen to last week. One of the things I did was we went back to the time she was born and the hard life she had as a child. And this week we're up to part four, so we're going to hear at least a few minutes of this.
We never had to go out and sell Ella, never. And the whole time that I worked for Ella, they always came to us.
We went out for 46 weeks. And she worked almost 46 weeks. I mean, I was amazed.
When an irresistible force such as you.
She'd do two concerts in one night, one early in the evening, and then we'd fly to another city. Start the second concert at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Fight it with all of our might. Gotta give.
For those particular tours, I know that they were extremely grueling. And as we know now today, you know, the body just, it cannot really take that much.
Ella was now approaching her 50s. And one of the few people she was close to, her half-sister Frances, died in July 1966.
I got the call that the sister died. Well, she came off the stage and went back to her dressing room, and I said, Ella, the hospital called, and your sister's... But I'm ready to go to Philadelphia with you. After the last show, she said to me, you know what? I got to keep working. Because I'm going to have to take care of those kids. My sister had three kids, and Ella proceeded to adopt them. And she was going to put them to college and everything else, but she did.
Paradoxically, meeting her greater family responsibilities spurred Ella into touring more relentlessly than ever.
All of you lovely people, I see you like music like me. I like all kind of music, you know, classics.
She loved to play London, Bonnie Scott. She had been doing big concerts and then this small club. Ella could feel the wonderful appreciation, and therefore she was able to get more, and people would shout out, sing such and so.
We go to another kind, you know. I want to please everybody, all the music lovers. And there's so many of us here, when we're home alone, I bet we put the same music on and start to do everything that we see the others do, the young ones. I do. And they call the music soul singing. Come on, babe. Get up and sing.
In the early 1980s, Ella began to experience heart problems, the result both of her weight and busy touring schedule.
I was really concerned because Ella was only going in for a valve replacement, and then when they opened her up, she actually had, which is a valve replacement is more serious than bypass, she had quintuple bypass surgery, so she had five bypasses in addition to the valve. She was not a young woman. And They had canceled all the contracts. They had told everybody that she wasn't going to be working again.
But as Ella began her convalescence, irrepressible jazz scholar Phil Schaap was combing the vaults.
Hey, man, I just found these cool tapes, man. Look what I did.
He'd uncovered one of Ella's greatest performances, her birthday concert in 1958.
These tapes did, in fact, contain a masterpiece. It was discovered in time to do something for her. That record gave her the final, you know, last hurrah. 50 years after Jessica Taskett, she had another number one record, the Ellen Rome, the birthday concert.
That's what got her going after her operation. She wanted to go back on the stage. She couldn't do anything else but sing. That was her life.
Once in a while, when you try to give one little thought to me, though someone else may be nearer your heart.
Being back on stage, where she'd spent so much of her life, had an extra poignancy for Ella. For a number of years, she'd been discreetly using her royalties to fund projects for underprivileged children.
Moments before we two drifted apart.
She found a way of addressing something that she shut away. The kind of healing, perhaps, to be able to go back to that life she had as a child and to put some of the things right that weren't done right for her.
I know that I'll be contented with yesterday's memories, knowing you'll think of me.
Ella had been diagnosed with diabetes. In the early 1990s, complications resulted in her eventually having both legs amputated below the knee.
I figured, well, I wonder why she's in a wheelchair. I went down to kiss her, and I noticed she didn't have one leg, and I thought, well, maybe she's sitting on it. She said, look at what they've done. They've taken my leg from me. And, you know, I had to say, you know, Ella, I'm so sorry. And
she said, but there's nothing wrong with my throat. I'm not singing with my legs. There we were. She was ready to go on. Don't you see? That was her life.
Soon or late, maybe, if you wait, maybe.
After many years of distance between them, Ella's adopted son, Ray Jr., returned to be at her side.
Maybe late.
The doctor said, you need to come home. Actually, what he said was, your mother has between 8 and 15 months to live. Getting back closer together, it's sort of easy to selfishly look at things that, you know, I didn't have this, I didn't have that. The main thought that I had was I wanted her to be at home.
One day before she died, she looked at me and she said, you know, I don't know, I've had a long career, and there's lots of other singers that have better voices than I do. She says, I just don't know what it was that kept this career going. She looked out in the backyard and turned back to me and said, I know what it is. It's the songs that I sing. That's what the people like. I almost started crying. What do you do when somebody of the stature of Ella Fitzgerald says something like that and totally believes it?
It wasn't a somber feel to the house. We had a trio come in and play 8 hours a day.
And they would play all the songs that she would sing, and she could hear the music. And every now and then, you know, when she was lucid, you'd see her big smile on her face. I think she was probably thinking about what she used to do.
Ella would sometimes wake up in the night and be all nervous and say, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And she would say, I've got to get ready. I've got to get ready. I've got a concert tomorrow. And they couldn't convince her that she couldn't, she didn't have a concert. So they finally would tell her that, "No, Ella, you're wrong. But Auntie, you're wrong. The concert's not until next week. You can go back to sleep."
Ella Fitzgerald died on the 15th of June, 1996. She was 79 years old.
Ella and I would talk about clothes all the time. You know, what do girls talk about? And she said, "I got myself an outfit, and I stopped traffic." That was her favorite expression for herself in clothes. Ella's funeral, oh, that was something not to be believed. We had a motorcycle escort, 8 motorcycles, 4 on each side of the procession. So I said to Ray, "Your mother would love this baby. She's stopping traffic," because we all knew her favorite expression.
"I guess too hungry for dinner at 8. I love the theater, but I never come late. I never bother with people I hate. The trash."
She went where we knew she was going, to the top. I would have liked to have seen her last a little bit longer, but life is not fair.
Some voices sound greater than other voices, and her voice sounded so great that it is arguably the greatest voice ever.
"I won't eat the dirt.
It will certainly scare singers forever.
Shame on me, I'm a lady, but I'm a tramp."
She is the history of jazz. She's one of the people that makes up the history of jazz. She's a mark that you aim for as a total performer and singer.
"I'm broke.
If you're aiming for that kind of artistry, you're aiming very high, but yeah, that's what you're supposed to do."
"Oh, I'm not so hot, but my shape is my own."
She had her faults. She was childish, but she was a genius. And she had no idea. That's the way she was. And that's why I loved her.
Girls get massages. We cry and we moan. Tell Cinderella to leave me alone. Oh, I'm not so hot, but my shape is my own.
Well, we had a chance to listen to the last part of Ella's life. the things that she did for others, as well as what she was so immersed in as it relates to her own life and children that were around her. But, you know, we're going to listen to some more songs that she sang. But she lived a very, very good life. And because she did so many concerts and worked so hard, it finally took a toll on her. And she probably could have lived a much longer life after she had that heart infraction. But she was back out performing again when she was 74 years old. And, of course, the diabetes took hold, and by age 79, she was gone to heaven to sing for the Lord. So we're going to go on and listen to an interview in 1974 done by who? Brian who? Lion Hands?
Lion Hands.
City Lights. Let's listen.
Ella Fitzgerald doesn't like to talk about the awards and the titles and the acclaim. She feels it's all happened and it happened. But somebody was once talking about Ella Fitzgerald and they said Ella Fitzgerald could sing the Van Nuys telephone directory with a broken jaw and make it sound good. And Ella Fitzgerald herself was asked about singing once and you said, the only thing better than singing is more singing. And I sing the way I feel, which sounds like a perfect philosophy for singing. But you're back in Toronto. You're at the Imperial Room. And one wonders about Ella Fitzgerald and Canadians. Is there something special for you being in Canada, singing for Canadians?
Oh, I don't know. We seem to have such a warmth together. Can I put it like that? It's like saying, well, here's Ella again. I feel like I know everybody.
When you were in Toronto once, you talked about knowing everybody. They were talking about sensual women. And although people don't often talk about the way Ella Fitzgerald dresses or the colors of your gowns or the fact that you can be, when you feel like it, a very sexy lady. Do you think passed by?
I hope not. My gosh, I hope not.
You think they talk about your voice too much?
Well, that is the part of me that they know. Sometimes I'd like to write a book and hope that people might see the other side of me. Because I have been married, and I have, like all women, I have been in love and out and in and made a few mistakes. And I think to our songs that most singers sing, we try to tell that story.
I think you do. You're not saying you sing the blues a lot, though, because you're...
No, I don't sing the blues, but I sing quite a few ballads. And some songs, some of the ballads tell that kind of story, like Good Morning Heartache is one. Angel Eyes is another one. Then when you're in love, I like songs like You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
So do I. We'll take a break on You Are the Sunshine of My Life and be right back with Ella Fitzgerald and music right after this. Ella Fitzgerald does something very unique when she's singing, and one of the things she's very famous for is scat. And I asked her friend Carmen McRae, I said, where did scat come from? When did you first hear scat?
First time I heard scat, I think a little like Carmen, first time was between Louis and Cab Calloway. I remember Cab Calloway used to sing Heidi, Heidi, Ho, and Ski Boop, and Ski Boop, and Ski Boop. And then I remember a disc jockey telling me that I had a record out with the late Chick Webb where I sang Dipsy Doodle, and on the end I said Reebok. so I don't know. But I think Louis Armstrong really was the first one.
Which you were singing along with that scene.
I used to like that song of the picture. Why do you say we go rocking and reeling? That's where, actually, we did Cow Cow Boogie.
Right.
And, but they took it out. We made a record, but the record was taken out.
We're looking at a scene from the movie, and people know that Ella Fitzgerald appeared in Pete Kelly's Blues, and there he was,
yeah.
Peggy Lee.
Yeah,
and
it was Eddie in Pete Kelly's Blues, and he was a little bit of girl in the
Oh, and St. Louis Blues with Eartha Kitt, Pearl Bailey, Cab Calloway,
yeah.
Ruby Dee.
Hey, you know so much about me.
Did you like making those movies? Were they fun?
Yes. I know. I was in letting a man write my epitaph, and that was quite a different phase for me. I played a dope addict, and I had a fan of mine. They said that was in the theater, and he saw me when I was crying and said he felt so bad. He says, oh, don't tell me Ella has gone to that now.
Your performance was that good?
Well, they thought it was very good, but it was a different thing for me. And I sort of like to try things like that. I would like to try something on television.
Dramatically?
Yeah.
Is there... You know, one always talks about, there's talk about singers and acting. Are you a singing actress?
I don't know, because what I sing is only what I feel. I had some lady ask me the other day about music lessons and things like that. And I've never accepted what I had to learn from my half credit in school. You know, I've never given it a thought. I've never taken breathing lessons, which in a way I wish I had now, you know. But fortunately, it has taken me this far. But I could never tell anyone how to sing.
But you can, if you hear them, you can hear how they're singing. You mean you couldn't teach, but you could
no,
you
I
hear and
teach
change?
Them.
No?
Well, the only thing I could tell them is if I think they're not singing themselves. I started out trying to sing like Miss Connie Boswell. And the thing about trying to sing like somebody else, it's all right as long as you're singing what they sing. But then when you have to get out in that bag by yourself and you don't know the song, or you don't know how they're going to sing, then you're lost. Then you have to go for yourself. So that's what happened. I had to go for myself, and that's how I guess I got a style. Then I also had a man who was such a great man, Chick Webb, the late Chick Webb. He felt that what I had was I had to experience. And he felt that he didn't want to rush me into what I was doing. I wanted to sing ballads right away, and he didn't think my voice was ready for it.
There are many, many stories about you and the late Chick Webb, and one of them is that it was such an important relationship for you, and the man was your friend, your mentor, and so helpful in your career, that when he died and the band was threatened with being disbanded, that Ella Fitzgerald walked in, picked up the baton, and led the band.
I tried to, but they wouldn't allow me. I only did it for about... oh, my gosh, it wasn't not even a good year.
Because you were a woman?
No, first place, I wasn't of age. And then the war broke up. And we couldn't keep the men together, so we finally had to disband the band.
You know, people talk about your singing and your records and television and movies, but... You've often said that you prefer the intimacy of a nightclub, and if it's 300 to 800 people, you feel you're at your best. What does the nightclub give Ella Fitzgerald?
I like them all, though. Really. I like nightclubs, and I also like concerts. Nightclubs, I get the... Well, let's say in a nightclub you get more of the grown-up audience, and maybe you can sing songs that oh, I don't know how to put it, do you? Say maybe some songs you might sing. Well, I don't sing really risque songs. I couldn't say that. But Toronto here, I can't compare it because here the audience has been so like, it's like a concert, you know?
Yeah.
And it's frightening to me because they sit and they listen so much that I don't hear the dishes rattling. And I become frightened. And I say, well, gee, am I boring them or what?
And have you ever considered they're just listening?
They are.
They sure are.
And it's beautiful.
We'll take a break on that and be right back with Ella Fitzgerald, music, the interior room, and other things right after this.
I'm going to stop right here for a moment, take a breather. I would love to hear Ella Fitzgerald sing again. I just wanted to say a few things about what I'm hearing. It's nice to be able to sit and listen to somebody who has so many years of experience in the field of music and to learn about what they experienced to get to where they are. I find that so remarkable because of today's engineering and that piece that we can sit and watch her perform, even though she's no longer here with us.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know about you, but I'd like to hear her sing.
I'm surprised she never had any vocal training.
Never. She never had any vocal training. None whatsoever, which I find very, very interesting.
And that she didn't really know how brilliant she was.
No. And most performers, great performers, do not. Mm. Even Frank Sinatra. As great as he was, he didn't really even know how great he was. He knew he was good, but he didn't know he was great.
Yeah.
He didn't know that he was setting an example for other musicians. That's why they were following him. There are so many women who have tried to sing like Ella Fitzgerald. June Christie, Chris Connors, Carmen McRae, all of those great singers that lived at that particular time all tried to emulate this lady right here. We don't have that much time, so I'm going to go to a song when she received the President's Award, and at that particular time, she was in the late 70s, about 2 or 3 years before she passed. Let's listen.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Nancy and Al, and thank all of the beautiful people in the ACP and those that voted. This is such a great honor, such a thrill, with all the talent that we've had here tonight. Aren't you proud of them? I am. I'm so proud. Thank you, and I'm so proud to be in class with all of these younger ones coming up. They ain't gonna leave me behind. I'm learning how to rap. And I don't know what else to say but to say thank you. They told me to sing something. The only thing I know that I could do, I haven't rehearsed it today. Of my life. That's why I'll always be around. I find myself drowning in my own tears. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Stop it right there, because I don't want to sit around and listen to people clap.
She obviously deserves it.
Oh, every bit of it. She was a fantastic entertainer. That was about a year and a half before she passed. Her legs were cut off about 6 months after that.
Oh, wow.
You saw them having to help her on stage. I remember that. Your mother and I sat and we watched that.
Really?
Yes, we did. In fact, your mother and I saw her at the Boston Pops, and she fell down on stage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, her legs. And she was pretty close to looking the way she looked just now. She hadn't gotten that bad off. But she fell down and continued. She was singing one-note samba. And when she fell, she continued to sing while on the floor. And people came out to help her. And she waved them away, grabbed hold of the piano, and pulled herself up, still singing, and sang the song all the way through and held on to the piano while she was doing it.
Wow.
That was one of the greatest performers I've ever seen.
Wow.
If you'll notice in the background of this video, we saw Nancy Wilson.
Mm-hmm. And was that Al Jarreau also?
And that was Al Jarreau. And what's so remarkable about us having something like this, not only did we see Ella, which was her last performance, but we also, when she received the NAACP Award, the Lifetime Achievement Award, but we also saw Nancy, who's no longer with us, who passed last year, and Al Jarreau passed last year also. Both of those two great singers, we will honor by having them on our show. So what we're going to do, we only have 6 minutes left, and we're going to use that particular time to deal with Ella a little further back before her passing.
Hi, I'm Alex Schultz.
And I'm Andrew Cooper.
In 2015, we took a surf trip to Bali, Indonesia, and saw firsthand just how bad the world's plastic pollution crisis really is.
Sorry.
Tonight, the hustler of Muscle Beach can con his way to money, but not to love.
Game we play.
my funny valentine, sweet comic valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art. I'll be singing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is blue, I'll be looking at the moon. But I'll be seeing you. Somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he means gender that to me. Someone who watches me. I'm little and lost in you. I know I could always.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
You must dream of a real
night.
A kiss is still a
kiss. A sigh is
just a sigh.
And with me, I'm very happy to have my daughter.
The fundamental things of life. As time goes by.
Your host, Dr. Walter Dean.
Jesus,
Lord,
love is welcome.